We read God's word this morning in two places, Mark 6 and Matthew 8. Mark 6 and Matthew 8. In our recent Lord's Supper celebrations, we've been having a series examining the reactions of our Lord Jesus when he was upon the earth. Because Christ is God incarnate, he has human reactions, human affections, human emotions, as we do. The great difference between his and ours, of course, are that his reactions and emotions are sinless. Ours are not. Ours are often affected by self-worship. They're often beyond what ought to be or not what they ought to be, but not him. All of his emotions and emotional responses were themselves sinless and pure, even totally apart from him thinking about something first. If something happened and he reacted to it without thinking, his reaction came out of an utterly pure nature and was sinless in every case. It's instructive to observe that on the pages of Scripture. We see another aspect of his righteousness that can be imputed to us, and we see at the same time an example of righteous responses and grow in our own responses to things. So far in this series, we have observed his compassion, that he's able to be touched with the feeling of our infirmities. And then second, we observed his rejoicing in the Spirit. The one time the Bible says he rejoiced in spirit over God's sovereignty, even over his own preaching, and how God accomplished his purpose, hiding things from the wise and prudent, revealing them unto babes. This morning, we take note of his response of amazement. Amazement. As we'll see, the King James Version translates the Greek word for that as marvel, and he marveled. That's what marveling is. It is amazement, to be amazed. Children, you know what amazement is, right? It's when something happens that you weren't expecting or that is beyond your expectations. And you say, wow, that I wasn't expecting that. That's something. That's amazing. There are times when Jesus was on the earth that things like that happened that he wasn't expecting, and it amazed him. Of course, Jesus cannot be amazed in his divinity. His Godhood knows absolutely everything that's going to happen. He cannot be amazed by something. But in his humanity, which is limited and finite, and that has our real human emotions, he could be amazed. Sometimes, out of his divinity, he would predict because he knew what would happen in the future, and he wouldn't be amazed. But a lot of times, simply living out of his humanity, he was amazed at something that happened in front of him. Listen to Calvin. Wonder cannot apply to God, for wonder arises out of what is new and unexpected. But it can exist in Christ, for he has clothed himself with our flesh and with human affections. There are only two times in the New Testament where we read that Jesus was amazed. We're going to read those two times now, and you'll notice that they're precise opposites of each other. One, an occasion of great unbelief, the other, an occasion of great faith. First, Mark 6. Mark 6. Verses 1 through 6. And he went out from thence and came into his own country. and his disciples follow him. And when the Sabbath day was come, he began to teach in the synagogue. And many, hearing him, were astonished, saying, From whence hath this man these things? And what wisdom is this which is given unto him, that even such mighty works are wrought by his hands? They had heard of his miracles. Is not this the carpenter, the son of Mary, the brother of James and Joses, and of Judah and of Simon? And are not his sisters here with us? And they were offended at him. But Jesus said unto them, A prophet is not without honor, but in his own country, and among his own kin, and in his own house. And he could there do no mighty work, save that he laid his hands upon a few sick folk and healed them. And he marveled, that's the word, amazement, and he marveled because of their unbelief. And he went round about the villages teaching. Now turn back to Matthew 8. Matthew 8. Let's read verses 5 through 13. Matthew 8, 5 through 13. And when Jesus was entered into Capernaum, there came unto him a centurion, beseeching him, and saying, Lord, my servant lieth at home sick of the palsy, grievously tormented. And Jesus saith unto him, I will come and heal him. The centurion answered and said, Lord, I am not worthy that thou shouldst come under my roof, but speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. For I am a man under authority, having soldiers under me, and I say to this man, Go, and he goeth, and to another, Come, and he cometh, and to my servant, Do this, and he doeth it. When Jesus heard it, he marveled. Same word. When Jesus heard it, he marveled, and said to them that followed, Verily I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. And I say unto you that many shall come from the east and the west, and shall sit down with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven, but the children of the kingdom shall be cast out into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And Jesus said unto the centurion, Go thy way, and as thou hast believed, so be it done unto thee. And his servant was healed in the selfsame hour. Let's take up those two phrases that speak of Christ's amazement under the theme, What Amazes Jesus? We'll notice first, great unbelief. Second, great faith. And then let's be amazed with him, share in his amazement. As we said, amazement is a response to something that is unexpected or beyond expectations, something that is unusual, and therefore you are not thinking that it is going to be. The first occasion for such amazement in the Lord Jesus Christ recorded in the Gospels is in Mark chapter 6, the first passage we read this morning, where he is in his hometown of Nazareth, where he grew up. The first time back now as the mediator of the covenant, having been baptized, placed into his office of mediator of the covenant, he returns now to his hometown and he gives the sermon on the Sabbath day in synagogue worship. And the response of the congregation is not what was expected. Jesus went to synagogue worship on the Sabbath day, every Sabbath day, as was his custom, Luke 4 tells us. And that Luke 4 is the parallel to this Mark 6 passage, where we learn that the Lord Jesus preached on that occasion from Isaiah 61, a messianic passage that speaks of the anointing of the Messiah into his office and the authority and of his work to preach the holy gospel to the poor. In the course of his preaching there in Nazareth, he said to the congregation this passage is this day fulfilled in your ears. I am the anointed Messiah, and I am preaching the gospel to the poor. And the Lord could see the looks on the faces. And not long after that, the words that came out of their mouths. And it was unbelief. To a man, it seems. And to a woman and to a child, it was unbelief. Mark 6, verse 6. And he marveled because of their unbelief. You can imagine why this was unexpected. From an outward point of view, this unbelief, this hardness of heart in Nazareth ought not to have been. These were people born into the sphere of the covenant. God saves in the line of generations. These were part of the public people of God. They were part of the church. They had been born and raised under the means of grace. The means of grace had come down, at least outwardly, upon them for many, many years. They had been grown in the synagogue school there in Nazareth. To use the language of the Apostle Paul later in the book of Romans, from an objective point of view, to these people pertaineth the adoption and the glory and the covenants and the giving of the law and the service of God and the promises. And yet to a man, unbelief. And then you add to that, not only was it the case that objectively they had the adoption and the glory and the covenants and the promises, they had the heart of all of those things standing right in front of them, preaching it to them. The fulfillment of all of this. And not only that, but they had grown up with this one. These are the people he grew up with. They observed him from when he was a young boy. They could see there was something different about him. They could see something of his sinlessness. He wasn't like the other children. Even in his emotional responses, they could see there was something different in him. They knew and saw his biblical acumen growing up. And now that he has engaged in his public ministry, they've heard the reports about his miracles and they're even amazed at it. And yet they will not heed. Not one. Even from an outward point of view, were amazed at Jesus preaching that day. Verse 2 tells us they were amazed. They were astonished. They marveled at his words. They marveled at his wisdom, it says. Impressive preaching from this young man who grew up here in Nazareth, the very unlettered community. But one would think, and with all the training they had and all the teaching that they had, one would think that the word brought through the very one to whom all of that was pointing, that there would be an overflowing response of belief and faith. The Messiah is here. Can you believe he grew up amongst us? And yet not one, so that even the Lord himself in his humanity is amazed, astonished at their hardness of heart. And yet, Jesus' amazement is not only that none of them in the sphere of the covenant in this community believed. That was unusual enough, of course. But it was also the greatness of that unbelief. The fervor of its expression. Specifically, there's three aspects to their unbelief itself here in Nazareth. First of all, the utter pride that comes out of them. as they look down upon this one who's the Messiah of God. Verse 3, is not this the carpenter, the son of Mary, the brother of James and Joses and of Judah and Simon? And are not his sisters here with us? And they were offended at him. Who does this guy think he is? His sisters are sitting right here in the audience. He grew up amongst us and he thinks he's the Messiah of God. He can't be that special. And second, there's the rejection of the authority that God himself had given him and placed him in his office of mediator of the covenant in his baptism with John the Baptist, the dove coming down, the Holy Spirit granted to him to fulfill his calling, prophet, priest, and king. They did not honor him for his office. That's why he says a prophet is without honor in his own country and speaking of himself. He understood they're not honoring the office that God has granted to me as mediator of the covenant of grace. Third, they reject the power of his word. They reject the power of his word. Though they were very impressed with his preaching from an outward point of view and even the wisdom of it from one point of view, and though Isaiah 61 testified that the Messiah would come and preach the gospel that way, they said there's no power in this word. This is just the word of little Jesus who grew up amongst us. And even the Lord, knowing who he was, of course, was amazed that they could respond this way. And try to kill him. The parallel account in Luke 4 adds this, and all they in the synagogue were filled with wrath and rose up and thrust him out of the city and led him unto the brow of the hill whereon their city was built that they might cast him down headlong. But he passing through the midst of them went his way. They tried to kill him. This was not just run-of-the-mill unbelief. This was great unbelief. Even if they didn't believe, why do this to the one who grew up among you? Blasphemy, I know. But who grew up among you and only did what was good and right? Go throw him over a cliff and kill him. The Lord not only saw the look of unbelief in them and the hardness of heart, but he saw their hands reach out to him, try to kill him. And this amazed the Lord. It's unexpected in the sphere of the covenant. It's unexpected in the sphere of the covenant still today. It happens. It happens. Every time it happens, it ought to amaze us. Not all amazement is good. Not all amazement is a positive kind of amazement. There's a kind of amazement that makes your skin crawl and your stomach churn. And this ought to do that to us. May it not be you. May it not be you this morning. You who are in the sphere of the covenant. You who sit under the means of grace, and for how long? You who have heard Christ himself speak through the proclamation of his word. May it not be that when he shows himself in his office, in his authority, and demands submission to his authority granted to him of the Father, that we puff ourselves up with pride and that we say, oh, but you're just someone we grew up with as kids and heard these stories about. Who are you really after all? But instead, might there be faith, great faith, the faith of the centurion in Matthew chapter 8. This is the second and the last time that we read in the gospel accounts that Jesus was amazed. Here too, something happens that is not usual. That is unexpected. even to the Lord in his humanity. Here is a man who was raised to be a pagan, had worshipped the pantheon of Roman gods, as a centurion, had given himself over to Rome itself as god of his life, as the vast majority of Roman soldiers and centurions had. Roman soldiers were to be loyal to Rome above all else, of course, and to Caesar above all else, and to bow the knee to Caesar. That's how you became a soldier of Rome, and that's how he rose up the ranks to be a centurion of Rome, to show that loyalty in word and deed. This man apparently had done that. He was apparently willing to live that out until recently. Once made a centurion in Rome, Rome mandated that for 20 years you were not allowed to be married or to have a family. You had to give your entire life, the best years of your life, to Rome without any distraction. And yet this man, this one, outside the sphere of the covenant, to whom did not pertain the adoption and the glory and the covenants and the promise, who expresses great faith, a heart humbled and softened by grace. Probably had heard the Lord Jesus preach a few times before this. And the word of God that had come to these Jews in Nazareth so often, Sabbath day after Sabbath day, and that left them proud and hard-hearted, humbled this man before Jehovah. This was not normal. This was unexpected. This was unusual. And so we read in Matthew 8, verse 10, when Jesus heard it, he marveled. You don't know, beloved, in whom the Spirit may work. You don't know in whom the Spirit may drive the Word into the mind and heart and soul. It may be at times those whom we least expect. Someone of whom we might say, there is no way, there is no possibility, and of whom we might say that because, yes, it is unusual. Yes, it is unexpected. Yes, it would be amazing if it would be the case. But God does the unexpected at times, and so you never say that it is impossible. For with God, all things are possible. And yet, isn't it the case that from one point of view, if one knows himself or herself as they ought, then you say, the one whom I least expect is right here. Me. I know my own sin and the haughtiness of my heart. So that everyone in whom the Spirit is working this morning ought to see themselves in this centurion and stand in awe and amazement that they, unworthy as they are given the privilege to be made partakers of the riches of His grace. That very thing is part of the great faith that amazed the Lord. When Jesus heard it, he marveled and said to them that followed, "Verily I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel." There's such a thing as great faith and little faith. A few verses later, the Lord will say of his disciples, "O ye of little faith." What made this great faith? Well, that's the striking thing about these two occasions and how they're polar opposites. It's the exact opposite of the three things that made the unbelief in Nazareth great unbelief. Were the Jews in Nazareth, who should have been humbled by the word of God that came to them time and time again, were they filled with pride before the Messiah? This man, Roman centurion, a man of pride and of dignity who had risen up the ranks in Rome and who should have expressed utter pride before Christ, this simple Jew whom every Roman snubbed his nose at, is humbled before the Lord. Verse 8 of Matthew 8, the centurion answered and said, Lord, I am not worthy that thou shouldst come under my roof. This is a 4-star general. This is a man in the upper echelons of Roman society. He had power, he had authority, he had money. Not only that, this is a man about whom even the Jews had respect. About whom even the Jews said to the Lord Jesus, if anybody is worthy of you doing a miracle for them, Jesus, it's this Roman man. In the parallel account in Luke chapter 7, we read that when this man made his request for the healing of his servant, the Jews gathered around Jesus to try to convince the Lord that, yes, do this for this man because he's worthy of a miracle. Luke 7, 4 and 5. And when they came to Jesus, that's the Jews, they besought Jesus instantly, saying that this man was worthy for whom Jesus should do this. For he loveth our nation, he loves the Jewish people, and he hath built us a synagogue. He's worthy of you expressing your favor upon him, Lord Jesus. Approve of him. We approve if you do this miracle for him because he's done some great things for us, you know. He built a synagogue, beautiful synagogue, great architecture, with all his own money, and he just gave it to us. Do you know what that centurion said? As he heard all this chatter from all these Jews talking about how he was so worthy to have this miracle be done for him. Lord, I am not even worthy that you come under my roof. That's what amazed the Lord. Second, well, the Jews in Nazareth, who should have acknowledged the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ, they had the prophecies of the office of Messiah in Isaiah 61, and everybody knew it was a messianic prophecy. And who knew he had been baptized in that river and the Spirit had come down upon him. He would not bow to that authority. This man, who has so much authority in himself, and who ought to, from any earthly point of view, puff himself up beneath this little Jewish teacher, acknowledges the authority of the Lord Jesus, that it's over all things, verse 8 and 9. Lord, I'm not worthy that thou shouldst come under my roof, but speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. For I am a man under authority, having soldiers under me, and I say to this man, go, and he goeth, and to another, come, and he cometh, and to my servant, do this, and he doeth it. In other words, what he's saying, Lord, I understand the way authority works, and I believe you have absolute authority over all things. So that you can speak to diseases and they may depart from people. And that amazed the Lord. That he acknowledged his authority over all things. All things. Third, did those in Nazareth reject the power of the word of Jesus Christ when they should have known it? When it was preached right before them, this man acknowledges the authority of the power of Christ's word. Speak the word, and my servant shall be healed. You don't even have to come to my roof. Come under my roof. Speak the word from here. I know that your word carries your authority, that it has power. And though you're miles away, your word will accomplish its purpose. And the Lord stands amazed. His own gift to this man, yet amazed at great faith. How do you come to the table of the Lord this morning? With this faith, May it be that even the power of Christ's word makes it so. I'm sure many people could rise up and say all kinds of good things about you. Oh Lord, surely this one is worthy to be at the table. They've done so many good things. Given so much money to the church. Good man, Lord, good man. It's worthy. Lord, this woman is absolutely worthy to be here, worthy for you to come and to heal their soul. She gives so much time to the kingdom. Or this or that. So many good things, Lord, this person has done or thought or said. Don't be so easily impressed with yourself and me with myself. If we're really something, beloved, then why did he have to be beaten to a bloody pulp? In his body and in his soul. For the things that we think, and the things that we say, and the things that we do. Stand up among the crowd this morning. Say, no, you don't understand. I'm not even worthy that he should come under this roof of ours and eat and drink with me here. And I trust the power of thy word, Lord. That you can heal sinners such as me. Speak that word from far away in heaven, the power of thy Holy Spirit, and even here it will heal our souls. Deliver us from guilt and power. We know thy authority. We know the power of thy word. We yield to it. And by faith, beloved, you will hear him say to you at the table, as thou hast believed, so be it done unto thee. You will testify right here, my soul was healed in the selfsame hour. And part of that healing will be that you and I become more like him, responding more and more the way he responds, amazed at the things that amaze him. What amazes you? What amazes me? Positively now. ¥450. Hole in one. Great. Buildings, architecture, fine contours, synagogues, temples, great works of nature, great peaks, Niagara Falls, things unexpected, unusual, great. Above and beyond all of that, what filled his holy breast was a proud sinner, humbled, trusting in a great Savior. Not the crack of a ball upon a bat, but the crack of a fist upon a breast. God be merciful to me, a sinner. Not the architecture of a temple made with hands, but that inside the temple of your body, the Spirit would make his home with all of his fine contours. Not the falling waters of Niagara, but the falling tears of the heart broken over one's own sin and clinging to the cross. be amazed at that, beloved. Be amazed at that. Because every single time, it is unusual and it is unexpected. And a proud, rebellious sinner come humbled before the foot of the cross. It would never happen apart from a miracle. Be amazed. Be amazed. Be amazed at it in yourself. Be amazed at it in your brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ, and come to this table this morning with faith, and come to this table this morning with amazement. At faith in your own self. At faith in your brothers and sisters here and anywhere you find it in all the world. Stand in awe. These are the great wonders of the world. Come and be healed. Amen. Father, bless thy word to our hearing, and grant that as we partake in faith and in amazement at thy wonder work. In Jesus' name, amen.